You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show. Heather?
Hey, everybody. Okay. Sorry.
Hey. All right. So you put a curse on a dude. You told us a couple of minutes ago. You've been waiting for the results. You work as a server. You had one really bad, rude customer. So you dabble in black magic. You put a curse on her. Specifically, what was this curse supposed to do?
Again, this stuff is like so powerful. I really don't feel comfortable just saying on the air what it would do, but it's just like mishaps.
Okay.
It's supposed to be just not
make her life unenjoyable.
I want her to have a bad day.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Okay. All right.
Well, she's no longer with us. So it worked.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
Oh my God, don't do that.
Although I don't know that I'm kidding because I don't know the results, Tommy.
You don't. And as I mentioned before, I didn't get anywhere with Facebook, which she had her Facebook page. However, I do have that Spokio.com, so I was able to do some stuff on there. And I found her LinkedIn page and got her work email. And to protect the server from getting found out, I didn't disclose that it was from the Burt Show.
Because I mean, I imagine once you did something like that, she's going to be listening to the show.
I came up with a cover.
Hey, we'll take listeners any way we can get.
So
remember, Heather knows dark magic. We're not messing with Heather.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the email cover that I sent from my personal email account. I said, hello, my name is Tommy Owen, and I'm a member of a private Facebook group dedicated to dark magic. One of our members put a curse on you recently, and I was wondering if the curse had taken hold. Could you please disclose if anything out of the ordinary or negative has happened to you lately? Bert, she never responded.
Come on, really? That doesn't mean she's not with us anymore.
But a coworker let me know the woman you put her curse on is no longer with us.
You lying.
Did you see Bert's Bert's head on a swivel?
That was going to be uncomfortable.
He's like, what?
You think? I'm sweating.
Just joking. The curse lady did. She replied.
Curse lady.
Yeah. So her reply. I would normally delete and block an email of this kind. However, the past 2 weeks have been the worst of my life. I want to know immediately who put a curse on me because I'm going to press charges.
What a Karen thing to say.
Calm down, Karen.
Who are you going to call? Like the Harry Potter police? Hogwarts police department?
I replied back to her. I said, yeah, that's not a thing. And I'm not at liberty to disclose the ID of our members as our group is private on Facebook. However, if you give me details, I can see if she would be willing to lift the curse. She replied,
oh my.
My car broke down and the mechanic can't figure out what's wrong. My hairdryer caught fire. My dishwasher started leaking. My key broke off in the front door. And someone stole my credit card information and charged $3,700 worth of crap before I could get it canceled. And somehow, some way, I keep stepping in gum.
That's the worst of all of them.
Make it stop. Why would someone do this to me? Question mark, question mark, question mark. And I said, I will take this information to her and see if she can rectify you with the universe.
Now, I'm not saying if I believe in this or I don't believe in this, so don't put a curse on me. But look, at the course of anybody's life, you could go through periods, as Cassie can attest, where things just go wrong. So are they tied into this?
Uh-uh. Dude, she stiffed her. She stiffed her. Hold on a second, Heather. She stiffed you with a 37-cent tip. How much money was stolen from her credit card?
37 hundred.
Shut up.
No.
Behold the power of Heather.
Listen, I mean, I would never take someone's credit card. It just mysteriously happened, I guess. I don't.
Are you going to lift it now? Do you think she's been punished enough? Like, how does that stuff even work?
I'm a good person. You know, I'm a good person. What she put me through that day, I feel like, all right, this is a lot. I didn't expect all that stuff. But, I mean, hey, karma, what goes around comes around, I guess.
Can you reverse a curse? Because if so, Mo would like you to do that for the Dallas Cowboys.
Please.
Let's talk.
There isn't enough Eye of Newt in the world.
All right.
All right, Tommy. Look, a lot of this is coincidence, right? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I ain't messing with it.
I ain't messing with it either. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Freshly baked raffle tickets here. Get your freshly baked raffle tickets. Why is that important today, Kristen?
Because today is the last day for you to secure your $100 raffle ticket to potentially win a brand new 2024 Audi Q3, courtesy of Audi Atlanta. So our Burt's Big Adventure raffle, Burt's Big Adventure, our nonprofit where we take kids with chronic and terminal illness down to Disney World, plus we turn it into so much more. It's become a community and a family. You have till 5 o'clock today to secure that raffle ticket. And then that is it. Time is up. And then we will be making an announcement of the winner later this week.
Get them tickets today at burtsbigadventure.org. So obviously the ripple effect of Abby's trip to England wasn't going to end just yesterday when she talked about it on the radio for the last couple of...
Two days ago.
And this is going to take a while to get over.
Yeah, for sure. I got back on Sunday, and I don't think I really fully processed how much the experience rocked me until I had to vocalize it. Like, I came on the plane and I was, you know, writing down all my emotions and what I experienced with this situation where I felt kind of used. And when I spoke about it on Monday, like, I think it really, really sunk in to where I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, do I need to talk to somebody about this? Essentially what happened, if you missed the whole spiel, is basically this guy just turned out to be a scumbag and kind of gropey, kind of gross. And I feel like I've experienced something that a lot of women, based off of my DMs and my comments, have experienced as well. It's like there's no water hot enough. There's no shower long enough that can wash the memory of somebody touching you that way. There's nothing you can do to get that feeling out of your mind and get that feeling off your skin.
Can I ask you one question about that? And I'm not questioning you or your thought process at the time. I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm.
So when he did that inappropriate touch,
mm-hmm.
at that point, because we've heard this before also, that sometimes you're processing it, but you're sort of making excuses for it. But when you really started to settle down, you realized that's where it all started. Why in that moment was there more time for him to still screw things up?
Can you rephrase that?
Yeah, I think that some would say, like, as soon as he was inappropriate with you physically, that would have been it.
So
and it was longer than that.
Let me make it clear that I'm not accusing him of sexual assault by any means. I think what I'm discussing is what a lot of women experience, where you're kind of complicit in your own discomfort. And I think it's because you talk yourself out of something that maybe doesn't feel right, because it's not like a black and white thing that's happened to you. Because in the moment, I'm like, oh, I'm out on a date with a boy that I like. And I don't have the full context of who he is and how he's later going to treat me. And so now with the context of things that are going to happen later on, I am now looking back on those memories as feeling like that wasn't, I don't even want to call it love. Not, they weren't affectionate touches. They were more
sexual.
manipulative touches.
I think something else that comes into play, because I think this is very nuanced and it's very layered. I think for centuries and for decades, women have been societally trained to make everything okay and to be amiable and not to rock the boat and just to kind of like grin and bear it and put on a good face and not cause a scene. So and as a woman, I can say like I've experienced that, and I've been that type of person that even though you're in a space where you know something is wrong and it's not your fault, it's the other person's fault, you still for some reason bear the burden of making sure everything's okay and you don't cause a scene and you don't make the other person uncomfortable.
And like you said, it's so nuanced too. So retrospectively looking at it, you're so invested in this time. Mm-hmm. You have spent money. You've spent time. You are all in on this. So for this one thing to happen, and there's alcohol involved, so you're probably also making the excuse like, okay, he's buzzed. And it's like the perfect storm to not just walk away from the whole thing entirely at that point.
100%. And I want to make it very clear. I'm going to say it again that I'm not accusing him of some kind of assault by any means. I just think the way that I feel when you understand the layers of what was happening, it makes you look back on those feelings differently, especially when you're with that person in the moment. Like when you're having those thoughts, when you get to the end of like what this situationship was and it's happening then you really have to like sit with how that feels with you. And so I want to make it clear, like I had every autonomy in every moment to be able to say like, I'm not okay with this. But I think in the moment I wasn't 100% sure that it wasn't okay with me.
And I mean, there's been times like you question yourself, am I really seeing what I think I'm seeing?
Yeah.
And so you're really trying to like weigh in your head, like should I be trusting my gut? And then also too, you find yourself, like you just said, you're trying to salvage a situation. Like, no, I can turn this around. I can fix this. Or this is just a blip. It'll be like, we'll change course and everything will be fine, because you're holding on to all those fond memories that just happened 24 hours ago. And you're like, no, we can get back there. We can get back there easy.
Yeah. I'm remembering, oh wait, that was really great. And you know, he just had one too many drinks, and you know, I'm drinking too. So like, you know, this is just, you know, he's just getting a little bit grabbier than normal because, you know, we're in that kind of context. So, you know, really like it's fine. And, you know, maybe that's not a boundary that I have. Like, you know, I like this guy and, you know, I don't not want him to touch me, but like, you know, it's feeling a little bit it feels a little bit too much, but you know, it's not like he's got his hands totally down my, you know what I mean? It's not like he's, you know, ripping off my clothes. So I think it's just this weird gray area that a lot of women find themselves in, where you start to push your boundaries aside and then you have regret for it. Mm-hmm. So again, like I'm just trying to make it clear that I'm not trying to paint myself as a victim, but I am experiencing regret and like hindsight remorse, having to now sit with what happened or how I was treated with different context.
I want to say it, and not that you need to hear it, but I want you to hear it. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
I promise you it's not your fault. And I want you, after everything is said and done, when you walk away from this, be really, really proud of yourself, A, for sharing it, and B, for walking away when you knew you needed to walk away.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And so when I pitched the fact that I was going to talk about it today, I was kind of waffling, because I think there was a moment where I was like, okay, I want to talk about sort of what's happening now. And, you know, do I need to talk to somebody about it? And I think, honestly, and maybe this is a weird term, but I was kind of like, I actually feel like I don't need to, because I have so much self-trust in myself now, having looked back on that experience. Because I think when you do justify things and you do talk yourself into things, I think when you experience that with what you want to happen, when you start justifying things in your head and you know that in that moment you also felt a certain way, like maybe your gut was like, oh, that feels a little bit too much. Now I know that that feeling was my body trying to protect me, saying, I know something that you're not willing to admit to yourself yet. Mm-hmm. Well, so I have more self-trust in myself than ever, that
I'm not going to let myself lie to myself anymore. I have more trust in my body. I have more trust in my intuition and my instincts that when something feels wrong, it's because my body knows something about the situation before my mind can comprehend it. So I'm really fine. And, you know, I don't know how this is going to affect my dating life moving forward. I don't know if it's going to affect how I trust men or the fact that if I even want to go out with men anymore, I'm kind of in this phase where I'm like, I can't picture sitting across the table from someone and like wanting to be there. So I don't know how long that's going
to
take.
It's okay to take a break.
Yeah. So I'm going to sit on the bench for a little bit, but despite the fact that I'm tearing up, I'm really good. And I have a lot of faith in my judgment. And I know that had I not been in that vulnerable of a situation, I would have called it off sooner. And I'm trying to remember that. And I'm trying not to hold regret over doing something what I've consistently said was kind of a stupid risk. And I'm trying not to hold that over my head because I knew better and was kind of holding out for what could have been what, and now in hindsight feels like delusion. So I'm proud of myself. I'm judging myself a little bit, but I am more confident in my judgment than ever.
Just don't judge yourself too harshly.
Thanks.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino. America's social casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
What odd thing turns you on? This is going to be a safe space, okay? It is. 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746.
And we can put you on the voice disguiser.
We can change your name. We can do all the things. And this is all because we talked to a woman not long ago when I was doing the dark side of haunted houses. And she said that all the people that worked in the haunted houses, right? Not all of them. All right. That's being a little exaggerative. But some of the people that worked at the haunted house and all their gory gear after hours when the haunted house was closed, they would get freaky with each other in different rooms of the haunted house. So I'm like, that's a very specific kink that you could be dressed as a zombie or, you know, a patient with your guts coming out and you want to get freaky on the operating table of a haunted house.
Did we put Rebecca on the voice disguiser when she confessed that?
But in case you forgot, here was the woman telling us what after hours haunted house workers do.
I've been a haunted house actor for, this will be my 12th year, and I promise any type of houses that, let's say if it's cabin in the woods style or, you know, like Hills Have Eyes, something with the house, all the employees are absolutely playing piano after hours.
So what odd thing turns you on? 1-855-BIRCHO.
Oh, Cassie's got both her hands in the air.
Like she just don't care.
Yeah. Hey. How many you got?
It's not odd. This is a TikTok trend, all right? Don't ask me how I ended on this side of TikTok.
I was going to say, it was in your algorithm,
yep,
sister.
Sure was. Now I'm debating revealing this, but apparently, and I would love, because people who work at like Spirit Halloween or whatever can confirm this, but apparently it's big enough now, and I did click the hashtag. People are getting freaky with the Scream mask.
With what?
The ghost killer mask from the movie Scream.
Oh, Scream. Okay.
Couples are going into like Halloween stores and buying the mask. And then people, like when they're getting checked out, all the employees are like, we know what you're going to do with this.
Like they're going to use it as like a glory hole or they're going to wear it during freaky time?
They're going to wear it because I went.
Can we?
Yeah.
You're right there. I'm asking the real question.
What did your mind go?
I mean, it is the 9 o'clock hour. So I know. I saw that 9 o'clock hit and I was like, done and done. Dark Mode Abby has entered the chat.
Activated.
I feel like I'm depths of hell, Abby, right now. I'm coming to you live from the underworld.
I had the same question because the video I got was an employee being like, when you're checking out a couple and they buy this mask and you're like, oh, I know what you're doing. So I'm like, what are they talking about? So I click so many, like some videos I wish I hadn't seen, but so many people are into
doing it with the mask on,
doing it with that specific mask on. Like both of them? No, one person. Usually the dude is wearing the mask and the girl is not wearing the mask.
If any woman asked me to put a mask on, I would understand it. we had somebody call up saying, and we lost them, elbow licking.
What?
Is their thing.
No, because right now everybody's going to try to lick your elbow and you can't. So I think that's a joke. Like elbow licking, like unless they like somebody to lick their own elbow.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. I think that's what she's saying.
Oh, I thought she meant she just likes people to lick.
They're licking the weenus?
Yes, the weenus.
The weenus. You know what that is?
No.
Yeah, it's the skin on your elbow.
It's this, the weenus.
What?
I made the mistake of telling my son that this was the weenus. Uh-huh. And so for like weeks, he was like, weenus. Weenus.
Oh, okay. We learned that term in second grade and it never gets old.
Got it. Good morning. Vanessa wants to be on The Voice Disguise. Oh, this is going to get fun. Hey, Vanessa.
Hi.
Okay, your weird thing that turns you on.
So I don't do it anymore, but when I was younger, I used to like the guys that I was dating make them wear my underwear.
Oh, wow, you must be super hot. And they'd be like, okay, if this is what's going to turn you on, then.
Yeah, it was pretty much just kind of like a power, like a control thing to see, like, could I make them do it? And then they would, and then it would be, I don't know, it was super hot.
Did they not? I would be worried because, you know, underwear's not cheap. Did they stretch it out?
That's what you're worried, right?
Just give them like the Hanes, the Fruit of the Looms.
There were thongs, you know.
Oh, thongs.
I appreciate these guys. These guys are basically saying, look, you're my woman. Are these guys you are dating or in committed relationships with?
Both. Yeah.
Both. Okay. Well, if you're in a committed relationship and you're like, look, this is the woman I'm going to end up with. I've said this before. This is the woman I'm going to end up with for the rest of my life. And this is what's going to turn her on. And she says something bizarre like this. I would definitely I'd look at it sideways, but I'd be like, I'll give it a try if this is going to turn you on.
Mm. How far did the odd go, Vanessa? Did you like wash the underwear after they wore it or did you wear it immediately after them?
No, it definitely went straight into the dirty laundry.
Okay, that's fine.
I used to try to see if I could get them to kiss other guys.
Okay.
I used to see if I could get them to kiss their friends.
Okay.
Jeez,
you must be really super hot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm talking about top of the shelf hot.
Yeah.
Man.
Now, I think the guy has the same, not responsibility, but maybe self-responsibility to go, whatever it is. Mm. You know what? I'm just not comfortable with that. I'm sorry that this is going to turn you on, but this is not going to work for me.
Consent is key here, for sure.
Yes.
And no means no.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know what Mo would say.
Yeah, it rhymes with Mo.
Ralph, good morning. Okay, the weird thing that turns you on? Odd?
Mm-hmm. I like some cellulite. I like a little bit of cellulite on some legs and thighs.
I like the way you say cellulite.
The cellulite makes her elite. It's a Burt Show.
The Burt Show. Real funny.
I remember coining this phrase back in the 80s, and it was stolen by a movie. I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Oh, my God.
I said it first. But maybe I am, because Amber here is telling me that she believes my house is more haunted than she initially thought. She didn't just do a drive-by and say, hey, that's a haunted house. She has a history here.
Yes.
And a company.
I have a YouTube channel that's called Paranormal Black Activity. Bert was sharing with us a while back that he believes that his house may be haunted because his dog, Franny, was responding to a lot of just strange things that he couldn't see.
She would just be sitting there, right? And I've seen dogs do this when they fart, where they don't recognize their own fart. They run away. They're like, oh, what the hell was that? That's not Franny. She'll just be standing there and then all of a sudden gets startled and just will run across the room. So I thought maybe it was my deceased dad messing with her or something in that house was messing with her. And I do believe in spirits. I don't believe in the spirits like in Hollywood where they're going to haunt you and you're going to see silverware fly across the room. But I think they're around us. And some people are in touch with them and some aren't. And some have electronics that can actually sift them out like Amber does.
Yes. So I've got a few things in my paranormal tool belt, if you will. I've got a REM pod, K2 meter, Fire, Spirit Box, all those wonderful things. And I brought them all over to Bert's house to figure out what's going on. And so you guys heard some of the clips about a month or so ago. I can't remember how long ago that was, of some of the things that I've heard in his house, EVPs. But I've just released part one on my Paranormal Blacktivity channel last Friday.
Because my memory sucks so bad, what some of the stuff that we played before was what? There were...
We had, well, one of the things that really, that you guys were really excited about was the number three that was said in three different voices back to back. That one was interesting, and that one will be in part two this tomorrow, actually, on that channel. But when I was editing this morning, when you were coming in, I was doing some, finishing some of the work on there, and I came across a lot of things that I did not hear initially when I was in your home. And so the footage, the audio that I shared with you guys was before I got to really like dive deep into the investigation, the evidence. And I came across something that kind of got me. I can't even understand what it is. I wish I knew what your dad's voice sounded like, because it sounds like an older man, but this is just straight EVP.
So there are some times where I'm speaking and I can hear my dad in my voice. So it was very close to how this sounds.
Okay. It was more of a whisper. I have to listen to it again, but I think I've got... If it's not you, then it's a demon pretending to be you. I don't know.
What was he saying? Is he going like, man, you got it right with this one. Amanda's hot. That's what he would say. He's like, you got it.
Good job, bud. Now, it was kind of like a groan moan. I couldn't really make out what it was, but there's so much going on in your house, and I did a lot of research on the area. So we're going to be talking about the history of Sandy Springs a little bit in these videos, and also dealing with the area around your home in that area. So there's some things.
What else did you hear inside of it before? We don't have the audio. She didn't know I was going to bring her on to talk about it, but she startled me this morning. Wasn't even a good morning. It's just like, hey.
You need to move.
Yes. Literally were her words this morning, as I am spending so much money on my house. She's like, you need to move. And I'm reconstructing the whole thing. What else was in there?
Well, one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting is when I was going over the history of Sandy Springs, at one point, and I think it was like the early 1900s, they had three convict camps in your area. And they had these people who were forced to build and also, I guess, retrofit like these really tight, cornered, angled roads like Northside Drive over there.
Yeah.
And so their job was to work on these. And this is before we had all the amazing construction hats and medical help and all that stuff. Yeah. So a lot of people, unfortunately, died in the construction of most of this area because of these convict camps. So that's one of the things that could be going on in your home. I always say it could be the property that the home or the property is sitting on that could be the haunting. It could be the person who lives there. There's a whole bunch of different things it could be.
And are you hearing other voices, or because you said there's a lot of activity going on?
I'm hearing male, female, different ages. I can't tell race, obviously. It's kind of hard. But I am definitely hearing men and women in your home.
It's a party in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That tracks.
Would that freak you guys out if this was your home? Because it doesn't scare me at all.
No, I don't think it would.
A little bit. I'd be concerned.
Yeah.
It had to be something very, like, in your face, freak me out. I feel, like, threatening. But, like, hearing some stuff, nah.
Because you've lived there, so you know the energy there. If there was something for you to be afraid of, you would have known by now.
There are sounds that seemingly come out of nowhere. In fact, it's weird that we're talking about it this morning, because it happened this morning while I was doing show prep for the show. There was a sound coming from the far side of my kitchen, which is really where Franny mostly spends most of her time. She's only got two places in the house she's comfortable with, and that's her crate and in this corner. And there was a strange noise from that side of the kitchen that almost sounded like ice was being dropped. And it wasn't the ice in my freezer that you'll sometimes hear when it's trying to regenerate ice from water. Mm-hmm. But I heard it over and over and over again, so much so that Hollis had friends over last night because they were going to a church retreat this weekend or this morning. And I thought maybe one of them was in the room with me. So I looked over there and there was nothing.
Wow, you got ghost ice, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
Spooky.
All right, so the video, I'm very interested in this, obviously. I'm invested. When is it coming out?
Well, we got the first part one came out this past Friday. Part two comes out tomorrow, and part three comes out Halloween Day.
Okay. Three parts.
Three parts.
Bring in some of the audio tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do.
And we'll do it in another segment.
We'll do.
The Bert Show.
Brianna, our intern here, is realizing now she is going through a quarter-life crisis, and it was one celebrity that made you realize this. It's all blamed on Taylor Swift.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, Taylor.
So the other day I was in my car, you know, just vibing, listening to music, and this song comes on, and I relate to the lyrics so much, like on a deeper level. And of course, it's by the queen herself, Taylor Swift, and it's Nothing New.
I've had too much to drink tonight, and I know it's sad, but this is what I think about, and I wake up. Like I can feel time moving. How can a person know everything at 18 but nothing at 22?
Listening to her music is a lot of work because you really gotta listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, it does require some reading comprehension.
It's not just a bop, yeah.
Exactly.
What was she saying in there?
Well, if you didn't catch that, hear the song again. It's at the end.
How can a person know everything at 18 but nothing at 22?
So that specific lyric, how can one person know everything at 18 but nothing at 22, just hits you to your core?
Literally, like, it relate on a different level. I think it's because I've been in school for like 16 years, and it's always been more school and more school, and now it's just like, okay, what's next? Also, like, I feel like it's a double sword because, like, 18, it's like I knew what I wanted to do. I knew it was like, oh, I'm going to college. I'm majoring in journalism. And now when people ask me, I'm like, I have no idea. Or I have, like, four different careers I want to go into.
Yeah, an internship here will definitely break you of journalism.
Exactly.
I should narrow it down for you.
Well, one thing is, this ain't journalism.
No, there's not one part of this that's journalism here. I think they're such amazing lyrics, but I think that also applies not only to quarter life crisis, but throughout your entire life. Like, you think you got it, right? Mm. And then you realize 2 years later, boy, that was crap that I thought a couple of years ago.
I know this speaks to your soul because you and Taylor Swift are intertwined.
Oh, me and Taylor Swift are one and the same. Yeah, my subtle flex is that I was one of the few crowds that got to hear that live with Phoebe Bridgers, who she collabs with that song on. But that lyric to me, I think when you first hear it, it sounds so demeaning to your 22-year-old self. But what I actually think it means, or what it actually hits home with me as, is that it's actually more coming down on you as an 18-year-old. Because if I look back at me at 17 and 18, I would always say, like, oh, I peaked at 17. Like, I knew exactly what I was doing. I had everything figured out. And I always just kind of played by the rules. Like, I think 17-year-old me would not like me today. But your worldview and your life experience at 17 is so minuscule compared to what you know at 22. And I think it's easier for you to judge the decisions and the place in your life that you're at 20, that you have when you're at 22. Because at 22, you just know a little too much. And it makes the world feel so much more complicated than it was at 18. And so your decisions feel simpler at 17, 18. Your life feels simpler at 17, 18 because you just see one track and now all of a sudden you're 22 and there's 14 ways to go. Mm. And so I think you have to stop blaming yourself for not knowing which of those to take and just start realizing you're in a position to have to rely more on yourself and who you are rather than what you've been told to do at this age.
Which part of your life right now is making you feel like the most insecure about a quarter life crisis?
I think it's like making the wrong decision. I don't know if I'm making the right decision for myself and like basically trusting myself to like take the right path and whatever I do choose to do.
So as an old guy, here's the beauty of where you're at right now, right? And I say this to anybody that's like 22, 23 years old. You're at a beautiful age where you can mess up and still you got plenty of time to make up for it. So I think when you're at 22 or 23 years old, you think like the decision that you're about to make is going to set the course for the rest of your life. And if it doesn't work out, it's all going to be a mess. And it's not. That's the beauty of being 22. You could totally screw it up. Mm-hmm. And you got so much time to correct it.
I'm glad to hear that.
And the beauty of it is you are going to screw it up. Yeah. So when you do, don't be mad at yourself. It's going to happen.
Okay. Thank you.
It's The Burt Show.
You're on The Burt Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.